A History of HMS Key Dive. Two U.S. Maritime Commission hulls were earmarked for transfer to the Royal Navy after conversion into escort carriers with the ship's name Key Dive. Key Dive, 1. Laid down at the Kaiser Shipyard, Vancouver, Washington as a 9,750-ton Type S-4, S-2, BB-3 Maritime Commission hull, Hull No. 111, Kaiser Hull No. 320, for completion as a Casablanca-class auxiliary aircraft carrier. She was launched on November 28, 1943 by her sponsor Mrs. Robert H. Smith. It was intended that the ship was to be transferred to the Royal Navy under lend-lease arrangements as the HMS Key Dive. However, the U.S. Navy decided that she and other Casablanca-class escort carriers building for Britain at that time would be required for the U.S. war effort, and subsequently she was delivered to the U.S. Navy at Astoria, Oregon on January 3, 1944 and became the USS Nahanta Bay, CVE-74, Captain Horace A. Butterfield, USN in command. Key Dive, 2. As an alternative to the Casablanca-class escort carriers, the Admiralty were offered a second batch of 23 Bogue-class ships building at the Seattle-Tacoma Shipbuilding Company Yard in Tacoma, Washington. These were Maritime Commission C3SA1 Type 9,800-ton freighter hulls being constructed for completion as auxiliary aircraft carriers. The second Key Dive had been lowered down on September 22, 1942 at Seattle-Tacoma Shipbuilding Company, Tacoma, Washington, Maritime Commission Hull No. 250, Seattle-Tacoma Hull No. 34. The hull was purchased by the U.S. Navy to become the auxiliary aircraft carrier USS Cordova, AVG-39, a Bogue-class auxiliary carrier. She was launched on January 30, 1943. Whilst still under construction, it had been decided that AVG-39 was to be transferred to the Admiralty on loan on completion. She was delivered on August 23, 1943 and was accepted on behalf of the U.S. Navy by Captain J. L. McGuigan, USN Supervisor of Shipbuilding at Tacoma. AVG-39 was transferred to the United Kingdom under Lend-Lease on September 25 at Tacoma and commissioned into RN service as HMS Key Dive, Pennant No. D-62, Captain H.J. Haynes, RN in command. Work up and passage to Norfolk and the UK, September to November 1943. After completing Admiralty acceptance and her builder's sea trials, Key Dive sailed for the U.S. Navy station at Seattle for depreening, calling first at the Bremerton Navy Yard to embark stores and ammunition, anchoring in Sinclair Inlet at 0905. She sailed at 0740 the following day, arriving at Seattle at 0845. She put to sea in the early afternoon of the 11th to conduct a short, 6-day workup carrying out steaming, gunnery, radar and other trials and exercises, arriving back at Seattle at 17:45 on the 17th. She made one final overnight outing, possibly for night gunnery shoots, sailing at 0840 on the 20th and returning to Seattle at 10:13 the following day. HMS Key Dive departed for the Panama Canal on her maiden voyage on September 23rd. Sailing from Seattle at 10:50, calling at Port Angeles where she moored at 16:45. She resumed her passage to Balboa the following day, escorted by U.S. Navy blimps while en route. She arrived at Balboa on October 5. On her arrival at Norfolk Navy Yard at 14:00 on October 12, she was taken in hand by the dockyard for repairs and modification work. This included repairing miscellaneous valves, general service pump, gauges, doors, fittings, drain channels around elevator openings, guard rails, and two 5-inch/38 caliber gun mounts, and the modification of the contracting valve on the catapult. On completion of this work, she moved to the Naval Operating Base on the 28th to load aircraft. These included 12 Avenger belonging to 849 Squadron and 10 Corsair of 1834 Squadron, which were stowed in the hangar. A further 10 Avenger Mark I and 9 Avenger Mark II, 3 Harvard and 1 crated Albacore were loaded as deck cargo. Loading was completed on November 1 and Khedive sailed for New York to take passage to the UK in convoy UT-4A, which sailed from New York on Friday, November 5, in company with 6 US troop ships and 1 escort oiler bound for the Clyde. UT-4A arrived on the Clyde on Monday, November 15. Khedive proceeded to Liverpool the following day to unload. The aircraft were craned off to the quayside on the 17th and were towed to the RN Air Section RAF Speak. Modification to RN standards and conversion to an assault carrier, November 1943 to March 1944. On November 21, Khedive was allocated to Western Approaches Command and sailed for Rosyth, where she was to be taken in hand by the Naval Dockyard for modification and conversion for duty as an assault carrier. She was one of a number of CVEs selected for conversion into a new type of ship to be used to provide air support for major military landings. The assault CVE would provide air cover until shore-based airstrips became operational. The modifications involved many new pieces of equipment being installed: a Type 277 radar, a telephone system consisting of over 100 telephones, a new briefing room and army plot room, cabins added around the aircraft direction room, and numerous other additions such as extra WT and RT sets and still further improvements to the bridge. Another important modification was an anti-aircraft armament upgrade. All existing single Oerlikon mounts on the galley deck and forecastle deck were to be changed for 14 powered twin mountings. After emerging from the dockyard in early March 1944, the ship underwent her post-refit trials and then took passage from Rosyth to the Clyde on the 20th for workup with flag officer flying training. Foft, however, at 0223 on the 22nd she was in collision with the merchantman SS Stuart Queen and received structural damage which required repairs to be made in the dockyard on the Clyde. Workup as an assault carrier and flying training, April to June 1944. Once fit for sea, Khed reported to flag officer flying training, and on April 1 she embarked her first operational squadron when the Seafires of 899 Squadron flew out to join her from Royal Naval Air Station Belfast. The squadron spent 4 weeks operating from the ship, conducting flying exercises before disembarking to RAF Longkesh, Northern Ireland, on the 27th. This was almost an incident-free month. Only one aircraft was damaged on the 11th, Lieutenant D.C. Coates in Seafire NF-441. Coded KW. Floated into the crash barrier. The ship spent the next 2 weeks on the Clyde preparing to take passage to Scapa Flow to continue her workup and join the escort carrier squadron attached to the home fleet. She put to sea on May 12 and re-embarked 899 Squadron from RAF Longkesh and arrived at Scapa on May 15. A detachment of 3 Seafires was put ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Hatstone and a second of 4 aircraft to Royal Naval Air Station Grimsetter on arrival. Flying training continued as the ship conducted exercises in the area, and only 3 aircraft were damaged during landing on over the 3 weeks of flying. On the 14th, while on passage, Lieutenant R.I.M. Scott R.N.V.R. made a heavy landing in NF-424 and the port undercarriage leg collapsed, and Sub-Lieutenant G.C. Shelley flying in NF-436 struck the tail on the round down righting off the airframe. On the 24th, Lieutenant H.H. Salisbury also hit the round down in NF-428, his tail struck and the arrestor hook jammed in the up position, and the aircraft continued into the barrier. The squadron was flown ashore to operate from RAF Peterhead at the end of May, and the ship was allocated to act as a deck landing training, DLT, carrier off the east coast of Scotland. On June 7, she sailed from Scarpa for Rosyth with a cargo of damaged airframes and engines, which were offloaded on arrival the following day. Between June 10 and 13, Key Dive provided a deck for Barracuda pilots from 769 Deck Landing Training School at Royal Naval Air Station East Haven to make practice landings and takeoffs. Sadly, one of the pilots was killed on the first day of DLT operations. Sub-Lieutenant J.W.M. Mellows died when the arrestor hook on his aircraft Barracuda DR-187 pulled out and the aircraft crashed over the side into the sea. Sub-Lieutenant D.C. Pritchard also made a bad landing in DR-161. He hit the round down but managed to land safely. It is unclear what duties the ship had after completing the DLT sessions. She did not sail to return to Scarpa until June 24, arriving the following day. Allocated to the Escort Carrier Squadron for operations in the Mediterranean. At Scarpa, Key Dive joined the Escort Carrier Squadron ready for operational duty. She sailed for the Clyde on July 6 in company with the Escort Carrier Fencer, re-embarking the Seafires of 899 on passage. The two carriers arrived on the Clyde on the 7th. Key Dive spent the period June 7th to July 14th based on the Clyde, conducting exercises and drills in preparation for sailing to Malta to conduct operations in the Mediterranean. Key Dive, in company with Assault CVE's Emperor, Pursuer, and Searcher, Fighter Direction Ship Ulster Queen, Anti-Aircraft Sloops Torque and Frigator, sailed from the Clyde at 22:30 on July 15, 1944 to rendezvous at 0507 in the Irish Sea with Task Group 120.8, comprising the USS Texas and screen consisting of USS Jeffers, Butler, Herndon, Murphy, Shubrick, and Grady, for passage to the Mediterranean. The convoy passed Gibraltar in the early hours of July 22. And at 9:39 the USS Texas, HM Ships Emperor, and Key Dive, escorted by USS Jeffers, Shubrick, and Herndon, detached and proceeded for Oran at 15 knots. The remainder of the convoy continued on for Malta. At 1600 Texas and Jeffers parted company and headed for Oran. Key Dive and Emperor, escorted by USS Shubrick, and Herndon headed for Algiers. On reaching Algiers the next morning the group was joined by another Assault CVE HMS Attacker at 11. She had been undergoing a self-maintenance period at Algiers. Key Dive and her charges rejoined TG-120.8 at 11:50 and continued on course for Malta. The ship entered Grand Harbour at 10 on the 25th. Task Force 88 and Operation Dragoon. At Malta, Key Dive joined Carrier Force TF-88 for Operation Dragoon, the invasion of southern France. The carrier force comprised of the seven carriers of Rear Admiral Trowbridge's Escort Carrier Squadron and two US CVEs divided into two task groups, TG-88.1 Cruisers Royalist, Rear Admiral Trowbridge, CTF-88 and CTG-88.1, and Colombo, CVEs, Attacker, 879 Squadron with 28 Seafire, Emperor, 800 Squadron with 23 Hellcat, Key Dive, 899 Squadron with 26 Seafire, Pursuer, 881 Squadron with 24 Wildcat, Searcher, 882 Squadron with 28 Wildcat, Destroyers Darien, Deezer, Trowbridge, Screen Commander, and U.S. Destroyers Jeffers, H.P. Jones, Marsh, Nelac and Murphy. TG-88.2 comprised of the CVE's USS Tulagi, Rear Admiral Durgin. USN, CTG-88.2, VOF-1 with 24 Hellcat, USS Kazan Bay, VF-74 with 24 Hellcat, Hunter 807 Squadron with 24 Seafire, and Stalker, 809. 23 Seafire. Key Dive flew her squadron ashore to Oran Air Section Halfar on the 27th to continue training. She also disembarked several Wildcats and Hellcats that had been transported as spare aircraft to an air section Darkali. Before the squadron flew ashore, Sub-Lieutenant V.S. Lodnar NVR had a barrier crash in NF-555 after missing all the arrestor wires. TG-88.1 sailed for tactical exercises off Malta on August 1, putting to sea at 07:30, 899, was re-embarked with a strength of 24 pilots and 26 aircraft. At 1940, ships of the task group conducted a barrage fire exercise. The force continued to exercise off Malta until the 11th. Task Force 88 sailed from Malta at 1745 on Saturday, August 12. The invasion of southern France, Operation Dragoon, commenced in the early hours of August 15. TF-88 flying operations commenced at 0610. The last aircraft landed on a 2035. Only daylight flying operations were carried out. The assault area, centered on Saint-Tropez, extended some 30 miles along the Côte d'Azur. It was divided into four sectors, code-named, from east to west, Camel, Delta, Alpha and Sitka. The assault troops were formed of three American divisions of the VI Corps, reinforced by the French 1st Armored Division. The 3rd Infantry Division landed on the left at Alpha Beach, Cavalier-sur-Mer. The 45th Infantry Division landed in the center at Delta Beach, Saint-Tropez, and the 36th Infantry Division landed on the right at Camel Beach, Saint-Raphael. A fourth force, the 1st Special Service Force, a joined U.S. Canadian Special Forces unit, was landed on the offshore islands Operation Sitka to neutralize the Hyrees Islands, Port Carolus, Port Croz, Bughorde, and Levant. By the end of the first day, 60,150 troops and 6,737 vehicles had been put ashore, including the 1st French Armored Contingent. On D-Day, 899 flew 8 force cover sorties and 24 armed as fighter/bombers, F/B, with 500-pound bomb loads, ranged inland attacking coastal defense batteries and bombing roads between Gears and Lemuy. On D+1 they flew 6 force cover and 6 beach cover sorties with 16 fighter/bomber sorties inland attacking motor transport and railway tracks west of Brignoles, and scored one hit on coastal battery K-26. Sub-Lieutenant E.A. Gentry RNVO was forced to bail out over the sea during a F/B sortie after being hit by flak. He was safely rescued by Ramillies. On the third day of operations, D+2, they flew 4 force cover and 6 beach cover sorties while 8 fighter/bomber aircraft attacked a fort on Port Crow Island, scored 4 hits and destroyed 2 huts. Sub-Lieutenant D.A. Carrier CNVO was killed during a low-level attack on motor transport. His aircraft NF-661 was seen to fly into a hill at Fuvo. D+3 was a slightly less intense flying program with 6 force cover sorties and 8 fighter/bomber sorties which attacked motor transport, destroying 3 vehicles and damaged 8 more. The next day, D+4. The squadron flew 6 force cover and 16 fighter/bomber sorties, resulting in the destruction of 4 cars and 1 lorry and badly damaged 3 tanks and 3 lorries carrying 20 infantry. 2 Hellcats from Emperor were landed on and later launched to return to their parent ship. Temporary transfer to TG-88.2, the two task groups operated together for the first 5 days of the operation. TG-88.1 withdrew late on the 19th, D+4, and took passage overnight to Maddalena, Sardinia, to refuel and rearm, but Key Dive was transferred to TG-88.2 to bolster the smaller force. On D+5, Key Dive's aircraft took over the force cover for TG-88.2, launching 20 sorties. In addition, 16 fighter/bomber sorties were launched, but with limited success. Only 1 F-boat and 1 vehicle were damaged. 1 Wildcat from Pursuers 881 Squadron landed on and a pilot from that squadron was transferred to Khedive from pursuer by the USS Henderson. A 2200 Khedive escorted by Tyrian detached from TEG-88.2 and proceeded to Madalena. Khedive and Tyrian arrived at Madalena at 11:10 on the morning of the 21st, D+6, and stored ship. After disembarking to damaged Sea Fires and 1881 Squadron Wildcat pilot for passage to the advance base at Casabianca Aerodrome, Corsica, where reserve aircraft were available. Rejoining TG-88.1. The ship weighed anchor at 1800 to return to the operational area, rejoining TG-88.1 at 0800 on D+7. Flying commenced at 12:40 and, although 24 fighter/bomber sorties were flown, targets were hard to find and was mainly restricted to road and rail strikes near Avignon. At 19:45, Commander Lewin, British Naval Air Liaison Officer, landed on Inner Wildcat and transferred to Royalist for a conference. He returned at 17:15 and flew off at 17:30. Sub-Lieutenant G. Stephen RNZNVR had to bail out on returning to the ship from his sortie. His parachute caught on the airframe and tore badly, and he fell into the sea trailing half a chute but was picked up safely by Tyrian. There was one deck crash. Lieutenant R. B. Howarth made a heavy landing in NN-338 and his portfolio collapsed. On the final day of operations, August 23, 29 fighter/bomber sorties were flown, but again targets were elusive. 899 had flown 201 sorties over 9 days with the loss of 4 aircraft. 2 pilots were killed, 1 aircraft was damaged by enemy fire. There were 17 serviceable aircraft available at dawn on D+8. There was no aerial combat, no enemy aircraft were encountered, but 54,503 rounds and 141 500-pound bomber loads were expended against ground targets. TG-88.1 withdrew at 20:25 on the 23rd and took passage overnight to Madalena. The ships of TG-88.1 were released from Dragoon operation on Sunday, August 27. Khedive left Madalena to proceed to Alexandria on the 28th. Arriving there on September 2, disembarking a detachment of 6 aircraft to Royal Naval Air Station Deck Hela on arrival, re-embarking them on the 6th. Operations in the Aegean Sea, Operation Outing 1, September 1944. While at Alexandria, the 7 carriers of Rear Admiral Trowbridge's Escort Carrier Squadron were reallocated for operations in the Aegean, and a new force, Force 120, was constituted on September 2 and initially comprised HM ships Royalist, Flag Officer Escort Carriers, Attacker, Hunter, Emperor, Khedive, Pursuer, Searcher, Stalker, Trowbridge, Captain D-24, Tyrian, Deezer, Termagant, Terpsichore, Tumult, Duskin, Tenacious, Greek destroyer HMS Navarinon, and Polish destroyer Orp Garland. They were joined by the cruisers Orion, Ajax, Black Prince, Argonaut, Aurora, and Colombo from Naples on the 24th. On September 9, Royalist, Flag Officer Escort Carriers, Hunter, Khedive, Pursuer, and Searcher sailed from Alexandria for Operation Outing 1. Their task was to hamper and delay German troop movements in the Dodecanese Islands, Leros, Kos, Samos, Rhodes and Levanta. The force was to operate off the south coast of Crete, where the carriers were to carry out reconnaissance and strikes by day, and provide combat air patrols, FCAP, for the force while the cruisers and destroyers of the force struck at targets by night. The first night targets presented on the 12th to 13th when Royalist and 3 destroyers attacked a small convoy on the Gandia, Santorin route. The next night drew blank, but on the night of the 14th, 15th to German KT ships were destroyed by Royalist and the destroyer Teaser. On the 15th the force was joined by Attacker and Emperor in preparation for the first air operations on the 16th. For the first 3 days of operations, the Seafires from Hunter and Key Dive, and the Wildcats from Pursuer and Searcher provided capturing the daylight hours for the command cruiser Royalist and her destroyers, and also for a minesweeping force clearing a path for the occupation of Kythera Island, between the western end of Crete and the Peloponnese. Strikes on the islands of Kos, Crete and Rhodes. The first phase of the operation was the neutralizing of the outer air defense ring formed by the islands of Crete, Scarpent and Rhodes. On the 16th, Seafire and Wildcat fighter bombers from Pursuer and Searcher attacked vehicles on the roads of Crete and sank 4 Cakes and damaged a further 6 with bombs. Armed reconnaissance sorties were flown over the islands of Melos and Thyre, and on the 19th the force carried out dive bombing of targets on Rhodes. Targets included 4 airfields, all vessels in its harbors and coastal waters, and all transport on its roads. 68 motor vehicles and Tu-52 transport aircraft were destroyed. 2 depot ships and 5 Cakes were sunk, and a radio station and a 1,000-ton merchant ship were damaged. Phase 1 of Operation Outing was completed on the 20th, and Key Dive and other carriers of the force returned to Alexandria. Captain D. H. Magne, R.N., relieved Captain Haynes as commanding officer on September 25 at Alexandria. 3 aircraft were damaged during this operation. All on the 18th, Sub-Lieutenant W.J. Long managed to barrier crashes, one in Seafire NF-544, the other in NF-637, in both cases he floated over the arrestor wires and entered the barrier, damaging the engine and tail. The third was Sub-Lieutenant G.C. Shelley in NN-350, which hit the barrier, broke off the undercarriage and came to rest tipped up on its nose. Refit in the UK and reallocation to the East Indies fleet, October 1944 to January 1945. On October 1, 1944, Key Dive, in company with Pursuer and Searcher, sailed from Alexandria to return to the UK. They made their way to Gibraltar unescorted, arriving there on the 8th to refuel before joining the convoy MKS.63, which sailed from Gibraltar that day. This convoy rendezvoused with the northbound SL-172 to form the COM semicolon and convoy SL-172/MKS-63 bound for Liverpool. On reaching the cover of the western approaches, the carriers detached, Key Dive proceeded to Belfast, Pursuer and Searcher to the Clyde, where they arrived on the 12th. At Belfast, the aircraft, stores and personnel of 899 Squadron were disembarked for the last time, the squadron going initially to RN Air Section Ballyhalbert en route to RAF Longkesh. On completion of destoring, ship Key Dive sailed for the Thames on October 20. She entered a commercial shipyard in London Docks on the 23rd to receive repairs and a refit in preparation for her service with the 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron, 21 ACS. Part of the East Indies fleet. Emerging in late December, she conducted post-refit trials before beginning preparations to sail for the Far East. On January 5, she embarked the 24 Hellcat aircraft, her new Squadron 808. The squadron was to be non-operational on passage, their aircraft were stowed in the hangar at the end of flying operations. On the 7th, she arrived at RN Aircraft Maintenance Yard, Belfast, to embark the stores and personnel of 808 Squadron and to load reserve aircraft for delivery to RN Aircraft Maintenance Yard, Cochin, in southern India. This load comprised mainly of Seafires but included 7 specially modified Avengers for the British Pacific Fleet. On January 11, 1945, Key Dive, together with CVE's Speaker and Slinger, and a destroyer escort of Voyage, Venus, Eskimo, Wolverine and Whitehall, sailed from the Clyde bound for Gibraltar on the first leg of passage to Ceylon. The group was under the command of Captain B. Elmore, C.O., Speaker. The group of ships called briefly at Gibraltar on the 16th, then Valletta Harbour, Malta on the 19th, before arriving at Alexandria on January 22, entering the Suez Canal on the 24th for transit to the Red Sea. After a brief stop at Aden to refuel and store ship on January 28, the convoy steamed straight across the Indian Ocean, key dive bound for Cochin, arriving on February 3, Slinger and Speaker to Colombo, arriving there on February 4. After unloading her cargo of reserve aircraft at Cochin, the ship's Hellcats were returned to operational status and the squadron disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Catacrunda on the 7th, while the ship steamed round the island to Trincomalee to report for duty with 21 ACS on the 11th. It is not clear what duties Key Dive performed once attached to 21 ACS. She was possibly employed for one or more ferry trips to Cochin before working up with her new squadron an unfamiliar aircraft type. It had been planned that a 10-day workup was to be done in the UK, but when it looked like she would not have time between leaving the dockyard and her planned sailing date, it was postponed and she was to work up in the Mediterranean on the passage out. This was further revised when it was decided to send a ferry load of reserve aircraft with her, making the flight deck inaccessible. Her workup was therefore postponed until she arrived on station. Workup and Operation Sunfish, March to April 1945. Aircraft from 808 Squadron began flying out to operate with a ship off the west coast of Ceylon in early March for DLT sessions. There were two barrier crashes, one on the 9th, JV-282 flown by Sub-Lieutenant J.E. Jackson, RNVR, after catching No. 7 wire, and on the 11th Midshipman B.P. Andrew, RNVR, in JV-321. The squadron rejoined the ship from Catacrunda on March 16 and the ship's workup got underway. There were two further barrier crashes during this period, both after catching No. 7 wire, Sub-Lieutenant B.C. White, RNZNVR, in JW-871 on the 17th. And Sub-Lieutenant G.O. Iger in JV-180 on the 18th. Training continued in preparation for operations against shipping and shore targets. Key Dive was allocated to Force 63 for Operation Sunfish. A detachment of 7 aircraft was briefly disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Trincomalee on April 5 to collect replacement aircraft. Damaged aircraft were put ashore by lighter. Force 63 was split into two groups. Group 1 comprised the battleship Queen Elizabeth, Free French battleship Richelieu, cruiser London, and destroyers Saumarez, Vieillamme and Vigilant. Group 2 included HMS Court aircraft carriers Emperor, 9 Avengers of 845, X Empress, and 4 Hellcat of 808, X Key Dive, plus 888 Squadron with 7 Puerto Rican Hellcats, and Key Dive, 20 Hellcat of 808, cruiser Cumberland, and destroyers Venus and Virgo. A tanker force, Force 70, comprised of HM Frigate Lossie and Royal Fleet Auxiliary Easdale, was sailed to support the main force. At 14:20 on Sunday, April 8, Key Dive slipped from her berth and proceeded out of harbour in company with Emperor, Senior Officer, 5th Cruiser Squadron, Venus and Virgo. The 7 Hellcats belonging to 808 Squadron at Royal Naval Air Station Trincomalee were to be flown on once clear of the harbour, 3 returning to Key Dive and 4 to Emperor. The landings on Key Dive were disastrous. 2 of the 3 aircraft were put out of action and 1 pilot was killed. Lieutenant J.P. Rowbottom, MRNVR, put JV-309 into the barrier, but Chief Petty Officer Pilot C.E. Gregory was killed when his aircraft crashed into the starboard quarter of the round down, burst into flames and was lost overboard. A fire was started on board but was soon put out. Damage to the ship amounted to the virtual destruction of the flight deck steering position and the starboard depth charge racks. Once repairs and a workaround were devised for emergency steering, the two carriers joined up with the remainder of Force 63. On April 9, a limited amount of flying was carried out and consisted of interception exercises controlled by Key Dive and Emperor alternately. At 15:30, Emperor's catapult broke down and it was estimated to take 4 days to repair. A member of the ship's company, FX94816, LME, J.S.E. Dyer, died on board from illness. Sunfish was planned in 2 parts. Phase 1 was to carry out a photographic reconnaissance sweep of the area around Port Swettenham, Malaya, beginning on April 12 from a flying-off position west of Padang, with secondary anti-shipping strikes. Phase 2 was the bombardment of Japanese positions on Subang Island just off the northwestern tip of Sumatra Island in the Japanese-occupied Netherlands East Indies. This program had to be reassessed and the planned bombardment of Subang was brought forward, the photographic reconnaissance being postponed in the hope that Emperor was serviceable on completion. A rehearsal of the flying program for D-Day was arranged on the 10th and Key Dive launched 5 aircraft. The day was again marked by tragedy when Hellcat JV-144, coded K6G, landing on at 8:38, crashed through the barriers and went over the bows, taking with it JV-298 which was in the park, and depositing a third, JW-719 on the forecastle head. Lieutenant Pierre Sherry, RNVR, the pilot of the machine that crashed was lost with his aircraft, but the pilot of the machine that ended on the forecastle, Sub-Lieutenant J.E. Jackson, RNVR, who was still in his cockpit, got away with a severe shaking. In addition, DX9533B, leading seaman, J. Johnson, RNR, of the deck handling party was killed outright and 2 mechanics, FX580487 leading radio mechanic, AW, a Catherall, and FX101836, air mechanic, EWB McClary, who were tending to aircraft in the park were lost overboard. Neither man was recovered. The ship was immediately turned out of the wind, partly to swing the screw clear of the men in the water and partly because it was expected the forecastle would go up in flames at any moment. Fortunately, it did not, and landing on was resumed at 0900, when the barrier had been repaired. Bombardment of Subang. At 0645 on the morning of April 11, there was sufficient wind for Emperor to launch 4 Hellcats, unaided, for offensive sweeps of the Japanese-held airfields at Kotoraja and Longa. Key Dive launched 4 aircraft as force cover and 2 for bombardment spotting duty, but had to use the ship's catapult for them all as the ship struggled to achieve the required wind speed over her deck. Her commanding officer reported that she had lost a 0.5 to 1 knot off her maximum speed since arriving on station. During the day, Queen Elizabeth, Richelieu, and London carried out a bombardment of Subang, while Saumarez, Vigilant, and Vuillaume bombarded Oliilho. No shipping was present at Subang, but the destroyers damaged a small coaster, which was already beached. A combat air patrol of 4 aircraft was maintained in the air throughout the day. Each sortie lasted 2 hours, with reliefs launching 30 minutes before the preceding patrol was due to land on. The first incoming raid was detected at 0945 while withdrawing from Subang. The force cover intercepted them at 40 miles. The raid consisted of 5 Oscars, Ki-43, carrying bombs and 2 Oscars as top cover. They were engaged by 4 Hellcats led by Sub-Lieutenant A.J. Foxley, RNZVR. And a dogfight ensued during which hits were scored on both sides, but the enemy jettisoned his bombs and retired. On disengaging, the leader, Sub-Lieutenant Foxley, noticed he was being followed by an Oscar. He pulled away from the enemy, and when the latter turned back, Sub-Lieutenant Foxley turned after him, pursued and destroyed him. Another Oscar was badly damaged by fire from Sub-Lieutenant J.P. West Taylor and Sub-Lieutenant A.L. Bedding. During the afternoon, a number of echoes were detected, probably of shadowing aircraft, but no interception was made, until one diner, Ki-46, who had been a nuisance for about an hour. The aircraft sent to intercept had to break off pursuit due to oxygen failure, and another 4 Hellcats were launched. The diner was caught after a long stern chase, and destroyed by Sub-Lieutenant Richardson, RNVR, flying Ing AW705, 120 miles WST of Sabang at 1620. During the afternoon, Queen Elizabeth fired several rounds apparently at a pair of Hellcats acting as force cover. The force withdrew to the west and south after the bombardment and flying ceased at 1923. The force was subsequently attacked by a force of 10 enemy aircraft, two of which were shot down by force cover fighters. Refueling, the ships of Force 63 withdrew further north on the 12th to begin refueling from Force 70. HMS London was detached to proceed to Simonstown to refit. Khedive kept four fighters at readiness all day while the force oiled. The only flying was the return of one Hellcat who had landed temporarily in Emperor. Refueling continued into the 13th, and when complete the force proceeded to a position off the west coast of Sumatra to prepare for the first photographic reconnaissance mission. No flying took place, but fighters were held at readiness. Photographic Reconnaissance Mission 1. The force entered Pulo Nias Channel in the early morning of the 14th. Khedive launched a combat air patrol while Emperor launched five PR Hellcats at 7:30 to obtain large-scale cover of targets in Port Swettenham, Kuala Lumpur, Port Dickson, Malacca and Serambi areas of Malaya. The number of serviceable fighter aircraft at the start of the day was 14 in Khedive and 4 in Emperor. These were seriously reduced when Sub-Lieutenant IHT Walker, RNVR, while landing on from a cap sortie in Hellcat JW-865 at 8:58 missed all the wires, crashed through the barriers, overturned, and fell onto other aircraft, including JX-760, rendering all three unserviceable. No one was seriously injured, but the overturned aircraft took rather long to clear since one wing was broken. The deck was, however, reported clear for flying by 10:45, which was almost precisely the time a deck crash occurred in Emperor. Possibly, Sub-Lieutenant S.J.K. Edwards, RMVR, in Hellcat JW-864, which struck the barrier and overturned, badly damaged it was subsequently ditched overboard. A replacement was flown off from Khedive to keep the detachment at four aircraft. After a flight of 300 miles each way in extremely bad weather conditions, the reconnaissance aircraft landed on between 11:25 and 11:40, having completed their missions. The force withdrew to the west once the PR Hellcats had landed on. Shadowers followed the fleet during the afternoon, but no interceptions were made. The force was believed to have been reported about 15:45, so the force cover was increased to 6 airborne and 4 at readiness, as air attacks were thought imminent. None materialized. Due to a camera failure and poor weather conditions, the photographic results were estimated as 40 out of 75 miles planned beach cover, 360 out of 1,290 square miles survey, and 17 out of 28 special targets. During this operation, 888 Squadron Sub-Lieutenant W.J.W. Tomlinson, RNVR, was forced to abandon his aircraft over the sea after engine failure 10 miles west of Port Dickson. He was taken prisoner, and was beheaded by the Japanese on July 20. Photographic Reconnaissance Mission 2. A second photographic reconnaissance mission was ordered for the 15th, and in order to reduce the distance to be flown by the PR aircraft by about 50 miles each way, the force entered the Pulo Nias North Channel at 0700 and 4 PR. Aircraft were flown off to complete the reconnaissance of the northern part of the target area and to cover as much as possible of the southern part. At 09:51, aircraft returned with engine trouble without having reached the target area. Between 10:50 and 11, the remaining three PR Hellcats landed on having completed their missions. The weather was fair over the target and the results were assessed as 45 out of 50 miles planned beach cover, 300 out of 700 square miles survey, and 13 out of 19 special targets achieved. Meanwhile, Khedive, now down to 12 serviceable aircraft, had been maintaining force cover, and about 13:15 what appeared to be two raids were detected, one Ki-43 Oscar fighter, escorting a Ki-48 Lily twin-engine light bomber, was intercepted 150 miles northwest of Pdang and shot down smoking by Sub-Lieutenant J.P. West Taylor, RNVR, in JV-255 and Sub-Lieutenant J. Bedding, RNVR, in JX-776. Sub-Lieutenant Bedding also succeeded in damaging the Lily in the group, which made off into the cloud and appeared unlikely to reach its base. On returning to the ship, Sub-Lieutenant West Taylor crashed on deck, overturning his machine JV-255K6K. At 14:45 another interception was missed largely through oxygen failure in the force cover. A scramble of two more was delayed by both aircraft going unserviceable on the accelerator. At 1500 while three aircraft were being landed on, one or two hostile aircraft passed over the fleet at about 8,000 feet and dropped bombs. A jettison tank was also dropped on Khedive's port quarter. It appeared to be a plain cylinder with no streamlining. Two small bombs fell 500 yards from Emperor's starboard bow, only one exploded. Although several aircraft were in the air, non-interceptions were made. Those under Khedive's direction were orbiting 5 miles astern of the fleet to try a visual detection. The enemy aircraft, however, got away in the clouds. Khedive's own guns did not fire on the enemy, partly because of landing on operations and partly because the enemy aircraft was not in effective range of her weapons. Once all aircraft had been recovered, the force withdrew through the Poulanias Channel to the southwest for the night. Strike on Emma Haven and Pdang. The force passed through the Siberut Channel about 0500 and at 0600 on the morning of April 16. The force was in position to the east of Siberut Island. Flying commenced at 0620 when Khedive launched two Hellcats at first light as reconnaissance for the destroyer's intended sweep. Fighter strength was down to only 10 serviceable aircraft, so cap was reduced to 2. At the same time, Emperor's Avengers and the Hellcats of the 808 detachment were launched for a strike on Emma Haven Port and Dang Airfield respectively. At 7:40, 4 PR Hellcats took off from Emperor to continue their photographic survey. One returned to the ship at 0735 with a defective camera but launched again 25 minutes later after swift repairs. The striking force reached Pdang undetected, and at 0736 two Hellcats were detached by the flight leader to strafe the airfield, and they fired to 3 of the 6 Ki-46 Dynar seen on the ground. Two Ki-43 Oscar fighters were airborne and both were engaged, one, flown by an experienced pilot, engaged Sub-Lieutenant I.S. McNee, RNVR, and obtained several strikes on his machine, fortunately without doing vital damage. Once he managed to disengage, Sub-Lieutenant McNee saw another Oscar, and despite the recent damage to his aircraft and partially expended ammunition, he engaged and succeeded in shooting it down. At 07437, Avengers attacked a 350-foot merchant ship in Emma Haven Harbor. Four direct hits and several near misses were observed. The 8th Avenger attacked the marine workshops. No other targets were seen. Light and inaccurate anti-aircraft fire was experienced both at Pdang Airfield and Emma Haven. All aircraft had landed on by 0848. In addition to the one Hellcat damaged by fire from the Oscars encountered, two Avengers suffered slight blast damage from the bomb explosions. Meanwhile, the destroyers Venus and Virgo made a sweep between the outlying islands and the mainland, from Abangas Bay to Natal Road, sinking 6 junks. On return of the photographic reconnaissance aircraft, the force withdrew to the westward through the Siberut Channel. On the 17th, the force met with the tanker Easdale to top off the destroyers. Fighter strength had risen to 14 serviceable at dawn, but no operational flying was done. Khedive maintained aircraft at readiness for interception, but no enemy aircraft were detected during the day, possibly because the strike on Pdang had been so successful. A planned bombardment of Emma Haven by the battleships and cruisers was cancelled, With this the operation was completed, the force withdrew and set course for Ceylon. KeyDive maintained aircraft at standby as the force proceeded to Ceylon. The 808 Squadron detachment transferred back from Emperor on the 18th during passage. One Hellcat remained as it was unserviceable. The detached maintenance personnel flew aboard as passengers in the 8 Avengers of 845 Squadron, which joined KeyDive for the remainder of the passage. During Operation Sunfish, 808 Squadron on KeyDive completed 113 sorties, 82 of which were accelerated, a total of 203 hours 49 minutes flying time. The detachment on Emperor flew a total of 52 hours 35 minutes. Squadron losses were 4 Hellcats lost through deck crashes, 2 pilots killed in deck crashes. Enemy losses were 4 destroyed in the air, 1 probable and 2 damaged. 5 were damaged on the ground. The force arrived off Ceylon on April 20 and 845 Avengers disembarked to Royal Naval Air Station Colombo Race Course. 808 joined them the following day. This was to be a short stay ashore, however. Having received replacement aircraft and pilots, the squadron re-embarked on the 23rd as the ship prepared for her second operation with 21 ACS, the seaborne assault on Rangoon, codenamed Operation Dracula. Operation Dracula. On April 25, the carrier force exercised off Trincomalee. 11 aircraft were launched from KeyDive for dive bombing and strafing exercise. 2 more went aloft for radar calibration runs. On returning to the ship, one of these aircraft, JX-776, missed all the arrestor wires and crashed through the barriers and continued into the aircraft park. The crash wrote off 3 aircraft and damaged 2 others. The pilot sub-Lieutenant H.T. Walker, RNVO, was killed. Replacement aircraft were embarked from Royal Naval Air Station Trincomalee on the 26th when KeyDive sailed for Akyab, Burma, in company with the battleships HMS Queen Elizabeth, and Free French ship Richelieu, cruisers Cumberland, Phoebe, fighter direction ship, Royalist, Flag 21 ACS, Commodore G.N. Oliver, CB, DSO, Suffolk and Ceylon, Netherlands cruiser Tromp, and ships of 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron Emperor, Hunter, and Stalker, screened by destroyers Saumarez, Data, Rotherham, Venus, Vigilam, Vigilant, Virago, Nubian and Penn. The carriers and destroyers of 21 ACS arrived at Akyab at midday on April 26, Royalist and Phoebe going to Kaiorkpu. After refueling, the force awaited further orders. Assault convoys passage to Rangoon. The force sailed from Akyab at 1100 on Sunday the 29th for Kaiorkpu. 4 Oster Rare Observation Post aircraft from No. 656 AOP Squadron Royal Air Force flew out to join the force once clear of Akyab, 1 landing on each carrier. On passage, communications for the operation were tested, and radar calibration was carried out. The force anchored off Kaiorkpu at 16:53, joining the vessels of Force W for the assault operation. These ships had already been moved from their bases in India and Ceylon to gather off Akyab and Kaiorkpu. D-Day was set for the 2nd of May, and the assault force was sailed in 4 convoys from Kaiorkpu, the slowest, Dog of 4.5 knots, on April 27, followed by Easy on the 28th and Charlie and Baker at roughly 24-hour intervals thereafter. The 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron sailed at 06:40 April 30 to provide daylight air cover for Convoy Baker, then leaving Kaiorkpu. This convoy included Lugs, Flag Officer, Force W, Phoebe as Fighter Direction Ship, 4 Landing Ship, Infantry, 2 Transports, and HM Indian Sloops Corvary and Subtle. Flying commenced at 10 with 4 force cover sorties provided by KeyDive and 16 convoy cover sorties being flown. Flying operations ceased at 18:05. On May 1, flying intensified with 20 force cover sorties and 32 convoy cover sorties being flown. KeyDive launched a total of 10 sorties for force cover. By this time Convoy Charlie was also receiving air cover. Throughout the day the force took on fuel. Royalist took on 248 tons from Stalker, Saw Maras, 70 tons from Key Dive, Venus 120 tons from Emperor, Virgo 116 tons and Vigilant 111 tons from Hunter. Flying ceased at 17:55 and the squadron retired to the southeast. D-Day, May 2. The assault convoys arrived at the lowering positions 30 miles off the Yangon River during the night of the 1st to 2nd May and formed into two assault groups, W1 and W2. Group W1 consisted of the landing ships, infantry, Persimmon and Barpeter, landing craft, headquarters, 317, 4 landing craft, infantry, 9 landing craft, tank, 3 landing craft, gun, 2 motor launches and 4 harbor defense motor launches. Captain Tyndale Cooper, Senior Officer Assault Group W1, with Brigadier L. V. Hutchison commanding the 71st Indian Infantry Brigade were embraced in landing craft, headquarters, 317. Group W2 consisted of the landing ships, infantry, Silvio, Glenroy and Prince Albert, landing craft, headquarters, 101, 10 landing craft, infantry, 8 landing craft, tank, 2 landing craft, gun, and an unstated number of motor launches and harbor defense motor launches. Captain Bell, Senior Officer Assault Group W2, with Brigadier I. Lauder, commanding the 36th Indian Infantry Brigade, were embraced in landing craft, headquarters, 101. At 02:30 on May 2, the assault group were formed up on their respective landing craft, headquarters ships. Once the maneuver was completed, the two groups set off for the beaches. The landing craft touched down shortly after 7 o'clock. Assault Group W1 at Kyorkton Creek on the eastern bank of the Yangon River, Assault Group W2 at Sadingmut on the western bank. There was no opposition, the Japanese had left Rangoon. The carrier force arrived in the flying off position, south of the mouth of the Yangon River, at 05:30 on the morning and flying operations began. The carriers flew a total of 100 sorties on D-Day, 12 for force cover, 72 for beach cover, and 16 fighter bomber sorties. Key Dive's main tasking was to provide 16 beach cover sorties and 1 flight of 4 Hellcats for a strike mission. Emperor flew off 4 Hellcats at 05:30, each armed with 2 500-pound MC bombs. These aircraft joined 4 Seafires from Hunter to bomb and STRA flight anti-aircraft positions at Thakutpin on the west bank of the Rangoon River. The bombs were dropped within the target area, no enemy were seen. At 16:40 the carrier squadron withdrew to the southwest for the night. D+1, on returning to the operating area at 05:30 on the 3rd the weather was poor and flying was cancelled. One Hellcat from 808 was launched however to fly to Emperor and return, delivering a spare armature. Between 10:15 and 1300 hours Key Dive transferred 185 tons of fuel to Royalist. The first troops landed in Rangoon town at 1700 hours. D+2 brought better weather conditions and flying resumed. The carriers flew 16 beach cover sorties, 4x808 from Key Dive. Between 08:45 and 10:45 Key Dive refueled one of her escorting destroyers, HMS Virago, transferring 123 tons of oil. While disengaging from the Evolution at 10:45 Virago was in collision with Key Dive, her bow impacted on Key Dive's port side aft, between her sponsons. Minor above the waterline damage was done to both ships. At 14:15 the Oster AOP aircraft were launched from the carriers to fly to a prepared strip inland, Captain R.J. Hutt, Royal Artillery taking off from Key Dive. Operation Dracula flying operations were completed at 17:15 and the squadron withdrew southward in preparation for further air operations in the Mergui area. Strikes in the Mergui and Victoria Point areas. On May 5, the squadron arrived in position 12 degrees 38 minutes north, 97 degrees 22 minutes east, approximately 300 miles south of their previous operational area, and flying commenced at 0655. The program called for strikes at enemy targets ashore and a total of 48 fighter bomber sorties were launched. 18 aircraft were tasked with force cover sorties. KEDIVE provided 12 fighter bombers and 6 escorting fighters for air operations over the Mergi area. A jetty south of the town at Mergi was bombed and collapsed. Barges alongside were damaged. A jetty on the west side of Patit Island was bombed and cut in half, and 4 lighters sunk. Warehouses to the west of the jetty were hit by 2 bombs. A further 4 lighters between Mergi and Patit Island were strafed. At Torres Island, a 80-foot camouflaged junk was left burning and probably sunk. Returning to the ship, Lieutenant T.D.P. Helps, RNVR and JX 920 caught the last wire and entered the barrier. Flying ceased at 17:30 and the force withdrew to the southwest at 1800. May 6 was to be the last day of operations against targets on the Burma coast. The squadron returned to position 10 degrees 38 minutes north, 97 degrees 10 minutes east, at 0600. Flying commenced at 6:30 when 12 aircraft were launched for armed reconnaissance over airfields and anti-shipping strikes in the area of Victoria Point, approximately 17 miles further south from Mergi. This strike comprised of 8 Hellcats, 4 from Emperor and 4 from KEDIVE, each carrying 2 500-pound bombs and 4 Seafires from Stalker. A radar installation on Victoria Point was bombed and strafed. One barge was sunk and a 150-foot junk was strafed and left blazing. At the airfield north of Victoria Point was observed to be bogged with 3 aircraft on the ground, 2 of them burnt out and the other probably a dummy. Airfield buildings and a barracks to the east were strafed by the Seafires. The last sorties of the day were 4 Seafires from Stalker taking off at 10:15 for an armed shipping reconnaissance of Gofratang Island area. A thunderstorm forced them to turn back before reaching the Thailand coast and they eventually landed on in difficult conditions. At 1200 the carrier squadron withdrew and set a course for Trincomalee. 08 squadron flew 75 sorties, a total of 110 hours 35 minutes flying time, 32 were launched using the ship's accelerator. Squadron losses were 1 pilot killed and 3 Hellcats destroyed, all on the 25th. Flying exercises commenced at 0835 on May 7th. Later in the afternoon, Royalist Fuel 114 tons from Stalker, and Vigilant 114 tons from Emperor. On Tuesday, May 8th, all exercises were cancelled on account of the surrender of German armed forces. Late afternoon, KEDIVE developed engine defects. At 17:15 she was detached to proceed independently escorted by Vigilant. The ships of 21 ACS arrived at Trincomalee at 08:50 on Wednesday, May 9. Operation Mitre and Dukedom, May 1945. The victory celebrations were curtailed by the news that the Japanese cruiser Hagero, one of the last surviving major Japanese warships, escorted by the destroyer Kamikaze, were attempting to evacuate troops from the Nicobar and Andaman Islands to Singapore. At 22:30 on the 9th, the submarine Statesman and Subtle, 2 of 3 submarines on patrol in the Malacca Straits, both reported sighting 1 Japanese cruiser of the Nichi class, with single destroyer escort proceeding northwestward. Based on this intelligence, the ships of the 3rd Battle Squadron and all available ships of the 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron were ordered to prepare to put to sea to intercept them. Both these forces had only arrived back in Trincomalee on May 9, Force 63, the battleships Queen Elizabeth and Free French Richelieu, escort carriers Empress and Shah, heavy cruisers Cumberland and Suffolk, light cruisers Ceylon and Free Dutch Tromp, and destroyers Nubian, Penn, Rotherham, Darter and Vuillaume. Having been at sea for Operation Bishop, the decoy raid intended to cover the Dracula landings. The first of three groups of ships which comprised the hastily constituted Force 61, sailed at 0600 on the morning of May 10. Group 2 departed first and comprised of the ships of the 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron, Royalist, Flag, AC-21, Emperor, Hunter, Khedive, Shah, escorted by destroyers Rotherham, D-11, Nubian and Penn. Group 1, comprising of the battleships Queen Elizabeth, Flag, Vice Admiral HTC, Walker, BS-3, HMNLS Trump and the destroyer Tata, D-10, sailed next. The third and final group comprised of Cumberland, Flag CS-5, Free French Richelieu, and elements of the 25th destroyer Flotilla Saumas, D-26, Venus, Vigilant, Viago, Nubian, and Vialam, sailed late, delayed by defects and joined the force at sea. Force 70, an oiling force consisting of HMS Paladin and RFA Easdale, sailed from Trincomalee on the same day. Force 61 was tasked with intercepting the Japanese evacuation ships, later given the codename Operation Mitre, and to hunt for the Hagero under the codename Operation Duke Dom. The force set course for the 10-degree channel at 16 knots where it was hoped to intercept the cruiser as she headed north on the 12th. The destroyer Ben suffered mechanical problems shortly after sailing and returned to Trincomalee. Data switched groups to replace her. At 0500 on the 11th, Shah had to slow down due to what was believed to be fuel contamination. Nubian was detailed to stand by her. Later in the morning, further difficulties arose due to the lack of wind, which required the carriers to constantly change course to operate their aircraft. Shah had sailed with a defective accelerator and this was still unserviceable when she rejoined the main force. This meant that she could still not launch a fully loaded Avenger, and a planned reshuffle of resources was ordered by Vice Admiral Walker at 14:30. Shah should attempt to fly off 851 Squadron's Avengers, carrying minimum fuel and no armaments, to operate from Emperor, while 8 Hellcats from 800 Squadron were transferred to Shah to join the detachment of 4804 Squadron Hellcats already embarked. During this transfer process, one of the Hellcats JX-797 of 800 Squadron had a deck landing accident that was to cause damage to 6 aircraft. The arrestor hook had caught on the metal frame of the afterlift and the hook pulled out. The aircraft careered through both barriers into Hellcats JV-260, JV-322, JW-777. JW-886 and JW-890 parked forward. By 1600 hours the transfers were complete and Force 61 resumed their southeasterly course. By this time the force had been detected by a Japanese plane and their position reported. The delays encountered during the day meant the force would not reach the 10-degree channel in time, and the admiral ordered the force to split at 1800 hours, Group 3, consisting of Richelieu, Cumberland and the destroyers Saumas, D-26, Venus, Vigilant, Virago and Vialam were detached to proceed ahead to the 6-degree channel in the hope of intercepting the Japanese cruiser. On the morning of May 12 it was reported that the enemy cruiser and destroyer were retiring southeastward, probably due to the sighting by Japanese aircraft of units of Force 61 to the westward of the Nicobars on the previous day. As a result of this information, Force 61 proceeded to a position about 200 miles southwest of Achin Head, North Sumatra, and Force 70 was ordered to rendezvous for refueling. It was hoped that if Japanese aircraft made no further sightings of the force, the Hagera might make a second attempt to reach Port Blair. At 1500 hours, Group 3 was ordered to return to the main force and rendezvoused that evening. Beginning at 0600 on the 13th, Force 61 commenced refueling, the destroyers being oiled from the escort carriers. This operation was hampered by monsoon weather conditions and took most of the day. Intelligence was received in the morning that the Japanese were planning to launch kamikaze attacks on the force, so Admiral Walker decided to make a preemptive strike against Car Nicobar Airfield. At 11:30, Emperor launched a strike force of 4 Hellcats to carry out a low-level strafing attack on Car Nicobar. One of the Hellcats had to abort the mission and was escorted back to Emperor by another one of the strike force. The remaining 2 Hellcats carried out a successful strike, destroying at least one aircraft on the ground. At 12:15, Queen Elizabeth and other units of the force picked up a radar contact. 4 Hellcats were flown off Emperor at 12:25 to investigate. Another 4 were ranged on deck at readiness. The interception was aborted almost straight away and the flight was diverted to land on Sha. During this incident, the force had moved nearly 100 miles south from the position where the 2 returning Hellcats from the Car Nicobar strike expected them to be. On reaching the position, they climbed to 12,000 feet and miraculously picked up Emperor's homing beacon at 85 miles. They landed on at 1600. One combat air patrol of 4 Hellcats from Key Dive, led by Lieutenant S.J.K. Edwards, RNVR, was orbiting round the carrier at 700 feet, preparing to land on, when a particularly vicious squall blew up, quickly reducing visibility to almost 0 feet. Edwards and his flight switched to instrument flying and maintained a tight formation, waiting for the weather to clear. With their remaining fuel supply dwindling, the squall persisted. Key Dive could not get a visual on the Hellcats, which were still invisible in the clouds, but at last, after what seemed an interminable period, Edwards and his section managed to land on safely. After steaming northeast through the night, the force passed through the 6-degree channel at 0400 on the morning of the 14th. Having received no news of the Hagero by 0515, Admiral Walker gave orders for Group 3, comprising the Richelieu, Cumberland and the destroyers Saumarez, D-26, Venus, Vigilant, Virago and Vialam to remain in the area of the 6-degree channel, while Groups 1 and 2, led by the Queen Elizabeth, reversed course and steered southwest to return to the refueling area southwest of Pulau Bunta, to rendezvous with Force 70 at approximately 15:30 hours. The search for the Japanese relief force, Force 2, still with no reports of the whereabouts of the Hagero. But intelligence suggested other shipping movements in a report of one small escorted transport heading south for Sabang, and expected to arrive on the 15th. Admiral Walker gave orders to implement Operation Mitre at 0217 on the 15th. This was a specific operation to carry out an air and sea sweep of the Malacca Strait and South Andaman Sea for Japanese auxiliary vessels. The operation was to be jointly carried out by vessels of Walker's force with RAF Liberators of 222 Group. However, Dukedom had priority and Mitre could be cancelled at any time. The 26th Destroyer Flotilla, Saumarez, D-26, Venus, Vigilant, Virago and Vialam, was detached at 27 knots to lead the sweep, the remainder of the force following in support. The intelligence was referring to the Japanese relief force, Force 2, the Kuroshi Iomaru, No. 2, escorted by submarine chaser CH-57, which had evacuated troops from Nankauri Island in the Nicobars and had been sighted by an RAF Liberator aircraft of 222 Group late in the evening of the 14th, heading for Penang. Actually, naval intelligence was unaware that the Hagero, Vice Admiral Hashimoto, and kamikaze had been waiting off the Pmatang Sedipa Lighthouse, in position 2:53 north, 100:59 east, for news as to whether the British had sighted Force 2, which had sailed from Penang for Nankauri Island, where they arrived on May 13. Believing the British had failed to detect Force 2, Vice Admiral Hashimoto decided to make a dash for Port Blair, so the Hagero and kamikaze were on passage to Port Blair. However, for various reasons, this time Walker didn't get any sighting reports from the submarine stationed in the Malacca Strait. At 0700, a second British force, Force 62, comprising the cruiser Nigeria with the 11th Destroyer Flotilla, Roebuck, Racehorse, rocket and redoubt, rendezvoused with Force 61. Having sailed from Trincomalee on the 13th to reinforce Walker's force. The combined force then set course to support the destroyers of Group 3. At 0730 in approximate position 4 degrees 30 minutes north, 93 degrees 30 minutes east, Emperor launched the reconnaissance/strike flight of 4 Avengers, each armed with 4 500-pound bombs, to search ahead of the force. The aircraft were given the call signs Duty Able, Baker, Charlie and Dog. Their instructions were to flight to a point, designated BB, which was in approximate position 6 degrees 20 minutes north, 94 degrees 35 minutes east, then to diverge and fly a search pattern. The pilots had been briefed that on sighting the enemy convoy, Force 2, they were to shadow and report. At 0937 in approximate position 6 degrees 44 minutes north, 97 degrees 3 minutes east, Avenger Duty Charlie, JZ-137, piloted by Sub-Lieutenant J.G.V. Burns, RNVR, sighted Force 2, en route to Penang and made an immediate sighting report. He shadowed the ships until 0950 expecting others in the flight to join him. When none had arrived he decided to attack, being at the extreme edge of their search radius dropping the bombs would extend their time over the target. His first run was with 2 bombs, one failed to drop, the other missed. Burns then attacked again dropping a single bomb, but without success, and while climbing away from his second pass he was joined by Duty Baker, JZ-203 flown by Sub-Lieutenant W.R.P. Bowden, RNVR, which immediately attacked the Japanese force, missing with all 4 bombs. While diving on the Kuroshi Iomaru for their third run Duty Charlie was hit in the engine just as the bombs were released. The damage was severe but Sub-Lieutenant Burns managed to pull up and turn onto a course for the fleet. Sub-Lieutenant Bowden and Duty Baker formed up on Charlie as it began to lose height and prepared to ditch, which it did soon after. With some difficulty Sub-Lieutenant Byrne and his crew, Sub-Lieutenant G.H. Robinson and Petty Officer A.A.Murley, managed to evacuate the aircraft and eventually to get into the life raft before their aircraft sank. Duty Baker reported the ditching and remained in the area, circling in the hope of pointing out the position to any rescuers. But none came before he had to head back to the ship. At 10:04, almost exactly the time of Duty Charlie's ditching, Emperor launched a further strike of 4 Avengers, with the call signs Duty Fox, George, Jig, and Hotel. The squadron CO, Lieutenant Commander M.T. Fuller, RNVR, was first to launch in Duty George, the next, Duty Hotel, reported his engine overheating while on the catapult but was launched to clear the deck and 10 minutes later landed on Hunter. A 5th aircraft Duty King had been brought up from the hangar to replace Hotel. The report of Duty Charlie's ditching had just reached Royalist and the Avengers were ordered to remain over Force 61 to await orders. Due to communication problems only Duty Fox, Sub-Lieutenant J.A. Edel, received the order and remained circling for an hour and a half before jettisoning his bombs and returning to Emperor, only to crash into the barrier on landing. George, Jig and King continued on their search pattern, but were now looking for the life raft of Sub-Lieutenant Byrne and his crew. The first of the early morning flight, Duty Dog, Sub-Lieutenant Roe Evans, RNVR, landed on at 11:55, Duty Able, Lieutenant K. Crumpton, RNVR, had reached the position given by Duty Charlie but saw nothing and returned to the ship to land on at 12:15. On reaching the expected position of the carriers Duty Baker found there were no ships in sight, reverse in course he attempted to contact the destroyers he had seen earlier but with no success. Eventually Avengers, Duty Jig and King appeared and Duty Jig escorted him towards the fleet. After 4 hours and 50 minutes in the air Duty Baker ran out of fuel at 12:10 and ditched 30 miles from the carriers. The crew were rescued by the 1700 Squadron Walrus from Hunter. Despite efforts to locate them, the crew of Duty Charlie were not rescued. Their raft eventually made landfall in Burma but they were later taken prisoner. There had been some confusion over the use of the word convoy used in the briefing. To these aircrew, a convoy would be made up of many vessels, not two. Sub-Lieutenant Bowden had actually seen Force 2 5 minutes before Sub-Lieutenant Burns, but discounted it and moved on. Just before ditching duty, Baker transmitted a fuller version of their earlier message of 10:03, giving the description of the convoy as motor vessels not exceeding 2,000 tons and their unsuccessful attack. This was received by Captain Powers in SAMAS almost at the same time as another signal cancelling MITRE. Decisions were being made by the CNC in Colombo based on naval intelligence reports, and the cancel order was at odds with the intelligence just received. He decided to seek clarification and slowed his advance. By this time only Duty George was still conducting a search. Jig and King had loitered over a group of unidentified British destroyers for 35 minutes before giving up trying to identify them, and so wasted valuable fuel. They split when Duty Jig joined up with Duty Baker to escort him home. Duty King did not reach the position of Duty Charlie's ditching and returned to the fleet short of fuel, only to discover it had moved again. After conducting a square search for 15 minutes, he picked up Shah's homing beacon and landed on her deck at 11:45 with 40 gallons of fuel still in the tank, approximately 17 minutes flying time. At 10:44, Lieutenant Commander Fuller, in Duty George, sighted and reported the Japanese Force 2. Shortly after sending off his sighting report, a second force was sighted, two further ships about 15 miles ahead of Force 2. These turned out to be the Hagro and Kamikaze. At 10:50, a second signal reporting enemy cruiser and destroyer in position 6 degrees 55 minutes north, 96 degrees 50 minutes east, and retiring southeastward. The Hagro had been found almost by accident and the result of errors and failures in communication, while Duty George was aloft. A revised search area had been calculated, taking into account currents and wind over the time since the ditching, and this was transmitted but not received by the four Avengers. So Lieutenant Commander Fuller and his crew were in the wrong place at the right time to stumble upon both targets. Sadly, they did not locate the life raft they were looking for. Unknown to the crew, they passed within 400 yards of them after dropping their bomb load to extend their time on station. Duty George remained shadowing the cruiser until 12:50, when they made a final course and speed report before heading back. Air strike against the Hagro. Following Lieutenant Commander Fuller's signals and updates, a further strike force of three Avengers was ranged on deck, fueled and armed by 13:50. These aircraft were given the call signs Duty Peter, Flight Leader, Lieutenant Crumpton, Queen, Sub-Lieutenant Roe Evans, and Roger, Sub-Lieutenant Edel, all making their second sortie of the day. Their mission was to attack the Hagro with 500-pound bombs. Ideally, this should have been a torpedo attack, but none of the escort carriers operating with the East Indies fleet carried torpedoes. They were launched from a position 110 miles due west of Sabang and were to fly a dogleg course to avoid the nearby enemy airfields. Lieutenant Commander Fuller and Duty George arrived back at the estimated rendezvous point at 14:32. This was where the fleet was expected to be, calculated using the MLA, mean line of advance. But no ships were sighted. 11 minutes later, he switched his IFF to distress mode and a course to steer was radioed to him. He was then joined by two Seafires from Hunter's Cap Flight, which escorted him back to Emperor. He landed on at 15:15 after 5 hours and 11 minutes in the air. Lieutenant Crumpton's flight of three had reached the estimated position of Hagro at 15:16, 16 minutes later than planned, but she was not in sight. They then began a square search with 15-mile legs. At 15:41, Lieutenant Crumpton sighted the cruiser and her escort near the end of the third leg and began shadowing her until the other two rejoined. They attacked from astern, starting their dive at 10,000 feet, Peter and Roger together, Queen a few seconds behind. Anti-aircraft fire was intense. On hit was scored on Peter's wing and Queen was peppered with shrapnel splinters. All release their payloads, Peter and Roger pulled out at 3,000 feet and turned away at full speed. Queen continued on down to 300 feet and fled out to sea on the Hagro's starboard bow. Reforming at 14:15, they set course for the fleet. They thought at least one of the 12 bombs hit and one a near miss. But in reality they all missed. All three arrived back at Emperor at 18:30 and landed on Sub-Lieutenant Edel in duty. Queen, JZ-233, misjudged his landing and made his second barrier crash of the day. Signs duty. Peter, Queen, and Roger had complete a 530-mile round-trip flight to strike the Hagro, the longest attacking round-trip flight of any fleet air-arm aircraft. They had accomplished the first and only dive-bombing attack by 851 Squadron. This was also the first such attack on a major warship since the sinking of the Königsberg in April 1940. Sinking of the Hagro. To the surprise of the squadron aircrew, no further strikes were ordered, possibly because the target was believed to have passed the maximum range for another strike. Instead, the chase was handed over to the 26th Destroyer Flotilla to engage the two ships. Captain Powers had been ordered to resume his original course at 27 knots at 12:10, then looking for Force 2, at 12:30 Cumberland and Richelieu were ordered to rejoin the destroyers, at best speed, to give them support. Captain Power planned to make a night attack, employing the single ship star attack, opening with a salvo of torpedoes. By the early hours of the 16th they were in radar contact, and positioned ahead of the Japanese ships and closing the gap. At 00:50 hours the Hagro detected the 26th destroyer flotilla in front of her at 17,500 yards. Captain Power's trap had been spring. The Hagro made an immediate turn to starboard and increased speed to 30 knots, heading north, away from Singapore for Penang, and the destroyer attack began. The first torpedoes were fired by Somers at 01:13 and the last were fired by Venus at 02:02, and the Hagro, having been hit by six torpedoes and nearly an hour of gunfire from the five destroyers, sank at 02:06 in position 4 degrees 49 minutes north, 99 degrees 42 minutes east. The Kamikaze escaped to the west, returning later to pick up survivors. The only British vessel to suffer damage was the Somers. She was hit in her number 1 boiler room by one of the Hagro's 5-inch shells. The shell only partially exploded, but it killed two and put number 1 boiler out of action. Having fought the last major surface gun and torpedo action of World War II, the flotilla formed up at 02:10 and steered northwesterly, to rejoin the Cumberland and Richelieu, still some 50 miles away. Air strikes on the Andaman Islands. At 07:00 on the 16th, Emperor launched 4 Hellcats, each armed with 8 60-pound rockets, to search for and strike the Kuroshi Iomaru, and 2 Avengers to continue searching for the crew of Duty Charlie. A further 6 Hellcats from Key Dive's 808 Squadron were launched to strike the airfield at Lok Sumawe in northern Sumatra. 2 turned back with radio failure while the remaining 4 strafed the airfield, damaging 1 fighter on the ground and a nearby locomotive. From 0800 the fleet came under almost constant air attack and Hunter's Sea Fire Cap aircraft were kept busy chasing down radar contacts, while none were shot down. At least 4 Ki-43 Oscars are believed to have been damaged in aerial combat. The searches for both the Kuroshi Iomaru and the life raft came up empty and the aircraft returned safely. 1 808 Squadron pilot, Lieutenant Abhi Mankus, flying in Hellcat JW-868, had a lucky escape when his port wing struck the sea. He managed to recover and remained airborne. At 17:25 2 A6M3 HAPS were caught off guard by a flight of 4 Hellcats from 800 Squadron led by Lieutenant H. De Witt, Royal Netherlands Navy, but managed to escape into cloud cover. The last attack of the day came at dusk when Hunter was about to refuel Virago. The operation had but aborted when the destroyer came under attack by a single Oscar. Heavy anti-aircraft fire from Virago and Hunter seemed to deter the Japanese pilot, who released his fragmentation bomb and veered away. The bomb fell into the sea 30 yards off Virago's port quarter, and the shrapnel from the blast killed 4 crewmen outright and wounded 8 more. This was Khedive's last flying operation as part of Force 61. At 0800 on the 17th, the force was split again: Royalist, Khedive, Shah and Force 62 detached and set course for Trincomalee. Arriving on the 19th, 808 Squadron was flown ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Colombo Racecourse. Defect rectification period and Operation Balsam, June 1945. It is believed that Khedive undertook a short period of defect rectification, including a spell in dry dock at Colombo. On putting back to sea in early June, she exercised with aircraft flying out from Royal Naval Air Station Colombo Racecourse. One such aircraft, Hellcat JW-891, flown by Sub-Lieutenant K.W. Wetton, RNVR, suffered a very bad crash when landing on the 12th. His arrestor hook broke off and his aircraft broke through both barriers. His starboard wingtip was cut off on the ship's direction finder mast. The squadron re-embarked early on June 14 in readiness for Operation Balsam. Operation Balsam was another photographic reconnaissance of southern Malaya and further strikes against Sumatran airfields carried out by Force 63, which for this operation comprised of Royalist, AC-21, Suffolk, Stalker, 809 Seafire, Khedive, 808 Hellcat, Amir, 804 and 888 Hellcat, Rotherham, D-11, Racehorse, Redoubt, Relentless, and Roebuck. The force sailed from Trincomalee on the 14th of June. From the flying off position in the northern approaches to the Malacca Straits, the 6 photographic reconnaissance Hellcats took off to begin photographic reconnaissance flights over southern Malaya on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of June. The squadron was down 1 aircraft after the first sortie as Sub-Lieutenant E.C. Godden in PR Hellcat JV-228 caught a late wire and hit the barrier on Amir on the 18th. On completion of the photographic reconnaissance portion of the operation, fighter strikes were made against the airfields at Lok Samawai, Medan, and Binjai on the 20th by Seafires from 809, and Hellcats from 804, and 808 squadrons. Runways were put out of action with 500 Bond bombs at Medan and Binjai. Attacks on grounded enemy aircraft resulted in 3 being destroyed, 7 left burning and probably destroyed, and 9 damaged. Aerodrome buildings, locomotives, and rolling stock were also effectively strafed. Off Medan to junks, 1 carrying oil, were attacked and set on fire. Force 63 was apparently not detected throughout the operation. There was only 1 casualty. Lieutenant Commander O.F. Whatley of 808 Squadron was killed when his aircraft, Hellcat JW-868, had its tail shot off by flak over Medan airfield and crashed in flames. On completion of the airstrikes, Force 63 withdrew and set course for Trincomalee, arriving off the coast on the 23rd, and Khedive disembarked her squadron to Royal Naval Air Station Trincomalee. During the remainder of June and early July, aircraft from 808 Squadron flew out to the ship for flying training and exercises in preparation for their next outing. The day before the squadron re-embarked on July 11, Sub-Lieutenant OCONRNVR put his aircraft JW-714 into the barrier after the arrestor hook bounced over number 6 wire, caught number 8 wire but failed to stop. The only other incident during this period was on the 18th, when the prop of JW-715 flown by Sub-Lieutenant IHT Walker MVR hit the deck while landing on. The squadron flew ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Puttalam on the 21st. Operation Carson, August 1945. This was a series of anti-shipping and airfield disruption strikes in the Penang and Medan areas to be carried out by Force 61, consisting of Royalist, Rear Admiral G.N. Oliver, C.B., D.S.O., AC-21, C.V. Izamir, Emperor, Empress, Khedive, and Shah, escorted by destroyers Darter, D-10, Penn, Vigilant, and Violan. 808 Squadron re-embarked on August 5 and the force sailed from Trincomalee on August 10, the intention being to carry out the planned attacks on August 14 and 15. On August 11 the force was ordered to hold west of 90 degrees east and await further orders. The operation was eventually cancelled in light of the news of Japan's announced willingness to accept the Allies' surrender terms. The force subsequently returned to Trincomalee, arriving on August 15 when the station general message, "Suspend offensive operations against Japanese forces," was made to all ships and Allied forces. Khedive continued exercising with her squadron during the remainder of August. There were two deck crashes during this period during DLT flights. On the 23rd, Sub-Lieutenant C.A.A. Corp. RNVR hit the round-down landing on NJW-715, coded C-7Z. The impact smashed the rear fuselage and tore off the tail wheel and port main wheel. The aircraft broke through the barrier and damaged the tail of JV-324 parked forward. The following day Sub-Lieutenant J.M. Greenfield, RNVR flying in JX-736 broke off his arrestor hook on the round-down, went into the barrier and overturned, landing on its back on the forward lift. Captain A. Apeda, Ren, arrived on board while the ship was at Trincomalee to relieve Captain Magnea's commanding officer. The reoccupation of Malaya, Operation Zipper, September 1945. After the Japanese surrender, plans to accept the surrender of Singapore were put into action. Originally this was part of Operation Zipper, but political constraints meant that no landing could take place until after the signing of the main surrender in Tokyo on September 2, 1945. The delays meant that all plans were now to change. Thus, the reoccupation of Malaya would take place in three phases. Phase 1 would be the recapture of Penang Island, Operation Jurist. Phase 2 would be the recapture of Singapore, Operation Tide Race. Phase 3 would be the seaborne assault of Northwest Malaya in the Port Dickson, Port Swettenham area, with landings near Morib with the 25th Indian Division and the 37th Brigade of the 23rd Indian Division. Modified Operation Zipper, carried out as planned and rehearsed, but the covering air and sea bombardment had been cancelled. The forces participating in these three operations were escorted by Force 61 Wyage, comprised of the battleships Nelson, Flag Vice Admiral H.T.C. Walker, BS-3, and Richelieu, the cruisers Nigeria, Cleopatra, and Ceylon, with air cover from the 21st Aircraft Carrier Squadron, comprising of Royalist, Rear Admiral G.N. Oliver, C.B., D.S.O., A., C.21, Amir, Begum, Emperor, Empress, Hunter, Khedive, Pursuer, Stalker, and Trumpeter, the latter ferrying R.A.F. Spitfires, escorted by 15 destroyers. Khedive sailed from Trincomalee on September 4 in company with the CVEs Amir, Begum, Emperor, Empress, and Stalker to rendezvous with assault convoy JME-1F on the 6th and provide air cover during passage of the Malacca Strait on the 8th and 9th. They were joined by Hunter while at sea. She had sailed from Penang on the 7th. Begum ran aground on leaving the harbour and was withdrawn from the operation. Empress suffered a catastrophic catapult failure on the 8th and returned to Trincomalee. The landings began at first light on the 9th. The carriers of 21A, CS provided air cover during the landings near Port Swettenham. No resistance was experienced on any of the beaches, and Force 61, now comprising Nelson, BS-3, Richelieu, Royalist, A, C-21, Emperor, Khedive, Ceylon, Saumarez, D-26, Relentless, Tartar, D-10, Paladin, Mings, D-2, Blackmore and Farndale, was released from Zipper on the 10th and proceeded on to Singapore. The ships of Force 61 anchored in Singapore roads between 09:30 and 10:30 on the morning of Tuesday, September 11, 1945, and waited for instructions. Later, the order was given for part of the force to proceed into the harbor. Emperor, Hunter, Khedive and Stalker anchored in Keppel Harbor. The CV Izumir and Attacker were among 90 ships, including 70 RN and RIN warships, 3 Royal Fleet auxiliaries, 3 hospital ships and 14 merchant vessels, present in Singapore Roads for the ceremony in which the Japanese forces in Southeast Asia surrendered on September 12. At 1600 on the 13th Royalist with Emperor, Khedive, Hunter, Stalker, and the Indian sloop Godavari sailed for Trincomalee. On reaching Ceylon, 808 Squadron were flown ashore to Royal Naval Air Station Coimbatore, southern India, on September 18. Post-war employment and return to the UK. It is unclear what duties Khedive was given after her squadron had departed. It is assumed that she was employed ferrying aircraft and personnel in the southern India and Ceylon area until she made a round-trip voyage to Durban, South Africa, arriving there on October 17. On her return to Colombo Harbour, the personnel of 808 Squadron embarked in Khedive as passengers on November 8, their aircraft having been withdrawn at Coimbatore. The ship was to sail for the UK on completion of loading passengers and stores. She sailed on November 13. HMS Khedive arrived back in Belfast on December 5, 1945 and unloaded aircraft and stores before continuing on to the Clyde where her passengers were disembarked. 808 Squadron was officially disbanded on arrival on the Clyde. No longer required for service in the Royal Navy, the majority of Khedive's crew were drafted to RN barracks. A steaming crew was left aboard to handle the ship on her final Atlantic crossing. As soon as her passengers had left, works began to prepare her for her return to the custody of the US Navy. This involved destoring her and removing Admiralty equipment. Disposal, return to US custody January 1946. HMS Khedive sailed from the UK for the last time on January 4, 1946 and set a course for Norfolk Navy Yard, Virginia via Halifax, Halifax, Nova Scotia, where she and disembarked passengers returning home from Europe. She secured alongside at Norfolk Navy Yard on January 26 and was paid off. CVE 39 was returned to U.S. Naval custody at Norfolk, Virginia on January 28, 1946. No further use was to be made of her as an aircraft carrier and she was marked for disposal. She was moved to the Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company shipyard to be processed on January 28. The work was completed on February 18. She was struck from the Naval Vessel Register on July 19, 1946 and was sold to the Waterman Steamship Corporation Mobile, Alabama on January 23, 1947 and moved to Gulf Shipbuilding Corp. Shipyard, Mobile, Alabama for conversion into a general cargo freighter. The new freighter was purchased in December 1947 by the Dutch government. The vessel was transferred to the ownership of the Hestuumvaart Maatschappij Nederland, SMN. She was commissioned on January 15, 1948 as the SS Rempang after the island of Rempang in the Dutch East Indies. Beginning in February 1948, she operated with the Silver Java Pacific Line. From 1955 to 1963, she was chartered for service with the VNS, United Netherlands Navigation Company. In March 1968, she was sold to Atlas Enterprises Incorporated Panama and renamed SS Daphne. She was sold again in 1970 to Comoran Africa Line, Abidjan, Côte d'Ivoire, West Africa. The ship retained the same name. At the start of 1976, she was sold for breaking by Haro Ardese. Gandia, Spain, work beginning January 20, 1976. Article produced by Tony Drury. Copyright 2017, www.royalnavyresearcharchive.org.uk.